The Red Road represents more than a philosophy. It's a spiritual journey through life, guided by profound respect for all creation. Imagine seeing the divine spark in everything, not just in temples or churches, but in every sunset, mountain, and even in the eyes of your enemies. This perspective fundamentally reshapes how we move through the world. Unlike Western traditions that often separate sacred from mundane, Native spirituality sees the divine permeating all existence. As Crowfoot, the Blackfoot warrior, eloquently described life, "It is the flash of a firefly in the night. It is the breath of a buffalo in the wintertime. It is the little shadow which runs across the grass and loses itself in the sunset." Walking this path means embracing personal responsibility while honoring community. Your journey is yours alone. Others may walk beside you, but none can walk for you. This path demands confronting fear, which stunts your soul and limits your journey to the tree of life. Instead of living in fear, the Red Road encourages trust in yourself and the world. As Kondiaronk of the Huron declared, "I fear no man, and I depend on the Great Spirit." This courage forms the foundation of authentic spiritual growth. At the center of Native American spirituality stands the medicine wheel, a powerful symbol representing the wholeness of creation. Divided into four parts, it symbolizes the complete person, the creator, and the universe itself. When one section is unbalanced, the entire wheel suffers. Black Elk's vision captured this wisdom. "I was standing on the highest mountain, and round about beneath me was the whole hoop of the world." He saw all hoops forming one circle, wide as daylight and starlight, with a flowering tree sheltering all children of one mother and father. The four sacred medicines, tobacco, cedar, sage, and sweetgrass, correspond to the four directions, each with unique spiritual properties. The circle represents eternity and interconnectedness. As Black Elk taught, "Everything an Indian does is in a circle. The power of the world always works in circles. From wind to seasons to human life cycles, the circle embodies the understanding that all power moves in this sacred geometry." The earth is the mother of all people, and all people should have equal rights upon it. Chief Seattle's declaration highlights the profound contrast between Native and Western worldviews. The earth isn't property, but a living relative deserving respect. Crazy Horse affirmed, "One does not sell the land people walk on." Capturing the disconnect between land as family versus property for transaction. Wovoka expressed this sacred bond. "You ask me to plow the ground. Shall I take a knife and tear my mother's bosom?" This explains why agricultural practices seemed sacrilegious to many Native peoples. They were wounding family. The Teton Sioux proverb, "The frog does not drink up the pond in which he lives," embodies ecological wisdom that sustainability requires restraint. Luther Standing Bear notes, "The American Indian is of the soil. He fits into the landscape." This connection forms the foundation of Native spirituality, a relationship linking generations through shared sacred ground. The Great Spirit flows as life force through all creation, known by many names: Awanawilliness, Wunkantonkin, Tirawa, Great Mystery, and Grandfather. Chief Joseph noted, "We may quarrel with men about things on earth, but we never quarrel about the Great Spirit." Francis LaFleche explains, "All life is walkin. Even the commonest sticks and stones have a spiritual essence which must be revered." This perspective sees the sacred in the ordinary, unlike traditions that confine divinity to specific places. Native spirituality portrays the Great Spirit as compassionate rather than judgmental. Red Jacket teaches, "The Great Spirit will not punish us for what we do not know." It emphasizes direct experience over dogma. Tatanga Mani observed, "Civilized people depend too much on man-made printed pages. I turn to the Great Spirit's book, which is the whole of his creation." This understanding manifests in practical ethics, especially gratitude. Tecumseh taught that beginning each day with thanksgiving connects us with the Great Spirit. Native American education contrasts sharply with Western approaches. Chief Plenty Coups described how Crow men served as patient teachers, praising excellence without breaking spirits and giving struggling boys extra attention until they reached their potential. This intergenerational teaching preserved tribal wisdom while nurturing each child's unique abilities. Nature functions as the primary classroom. Joe Coihis advises, listen to all the teachers in the woods. Watch the trees, the animals, and all living things. You'll learn more from them than from books. This acknowledges wisdom embedded in nature beyond human knowledge. Native education cultivates sensory awareness. Children learn to sit still contentedly, use their sense of smell, observe when nothing seems visible, and listen intently amid apparent silence. This patience-building practice differs from modern education's constant stimulation. True wisdom emerges through listening to experienced elders, seeking honesty, embracing lifelong learning, and studying nature. Crow wisdom teaches that success comes from learning how others succeeded or failed and without trouble to himself. Native American communities operated through social systems built on respect and reciprocity. The fourth ethical principle teaches, treat guests with utmost consideration, serve them the best food, give them the best bed, and show respect. Honor others' thoughts, wishes, and words without interruption. Elders held honored positions. We held our elders in highest esteem. Their age proved their bravery, strength, and fighting skill, qualities we aspired to embody. The community's strength equally depended on honoring women. The honor of the people lies in the moccasin tracks of the women. No people goes down until their women are weak and dishonored. Native governance typically operated through consensus rather than coercion. George Copway described how social pressure and fear of the nation's censure bound all in one social, honorable compact without formal written codes. Children were considered sacred gifts, requiring the community's complete devotion, reciprocating the Creator's blessing, and securing the future. The wisdom of walking the red road remains profoundly relevant today. As environmental crises mount, Chief Seattle warned, "The earth is sick. The animals will begin to disappear. When that happens, the warriors of the rainbow will come to save them." Vine Deloria Jr. reminds us that the land cries out for redemption, not supernatural salvation, but a return to sanity in our relationship with earth. An ancient Indian proverb teaches, "We do not inherit the earth from our ancestors, we borrow it from our children." As technology disconnects us from nature, Chief Joseph envisioned brotherhood between peoples. The Red Road offers a path forward through balance, respect, community, and spiritual connection, inviting us to rediscover the divine in all creation, honor our relationships with all beings, and walk in harmony with the earth.